Bienvenidos al Predicador Vinyl? Is Vinyl in Spanish?
Vinyl?
I'm not really sure. We probably should have looked that up before starting the podcast. I'm Matt Cadle, pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Los Angeles, California, which now I believe is in the orange tier.
I'm Zach Pierce. I'm the pastor of Lutheran Campus Ministry at the University of Colorado Boulder and a co-host of your preacher, according to Google Translate. We're in yellow, I think, though we have dissolved our statewide dials, and now each county has their own dial.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like church. I'm struck these days, Matt, by the connection between what the church is like and what the state is like. In the state, I mean, in terms of, you know, in the broader sense of it here. But yeah, like, it's a made-up thing that wasn't really affecting my life. And now somebody else makes it up, and it also won't significantly affect my life.
I mean, we're supposed to, I think ours are being dissolved on June 15th. Which I guess means we have to get back to in-person worship at some point. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
I'm looking forward to, Matt. I'm only a couple days away from dose number two. Dose, as they say in Spanish. I thought I would be more excited about it. As I currently said, I'm a few days away from dose. I thought my life would, like, change dramatically once I was vaccinated. You know, because I assumed, rightly, locally, like, half of the people in Boulder County have had a dose. That, like, by the time I got double-dosed, party starts, you know. And maybe the party will start at some point, but it doesn't feel right now like very much of a party.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it's going to be like. It's just, it's super weird. It is very, second part of the New Testament. Okay, he's not coming back tomorrow. but soon, and soon is a word that can be stretched. But don't worry, the kingdom's breaking in to your skin through a needle. So you get glimpses of it. It's just not going to happen like tomorrow.
Have you, Matt, have you ever been to a high school reunion for your high school?
They had one, fall of 2019. I did not go, no.
You did not go. I've not been to any high school reunions yet. Though my 20th, which is insane, I'm so old, my 20th high school reunion is coming up. So I've been thinking about high school stuff more than I normally would. And a part of it, Matt, is that, like you, I use the Facebook a lot. I don't post as much as you. I'm proud of that. But it's because I'm not a real pastor and my people aren't on Facebook. I use Instagram much more than you do.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, you'll get there. My friends, right, I'm friends with many people on Facebook and a lot of people that I went to high school with, which I think is this interesting, bizarre phenomenon that's pretty new, right? Like, so the other day I saw some posts from people that I haven't talked to since the 90s, right? Who I don't have any qualms about, like, being Facebook. Like, it is interesting to know what they're up to. I'm sure they're, I like to narcissistically think that they're really excited to find out what I'm up to. And they were posting some anti-vaxxer stuff. Not anti-vaxxer in terms of, like, autism anti-vaxxer, but, like, this is why I'm not going to get the COVID vaccine. And I was really struck by it because, you know, I live in a bubble and I don't get to interact with many people for whom that's their perspective. So I thought that was super interesting. My first thought was, I know what'll change their mind. If they hear from me, a respected peer that they talked to in the 90s, if I come in hard on the Facebook comments, I'm sure this will change their mind. I actually immediately thought that would be a bad idea. Man, I did not try that because that definitely won't work. I'm not going to be able to change their mind at all.
What if you referenced a 90s song? Like, would that help?
I have been listening. You know, I've got a car that comes with a trial subscription to Sirius XM. So I've been listening to 90s on 9. So I've been listening to a lot. I was just listening to Cher believe, on the way home from preschool today. It was a good mix, man. We hit Cher, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Under the Bridge. Here's a good one. This under the radar 90s jam. Live's I Alone is a banger. You forget about Live, the band Live, because
I love you. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. That was, it might have been the first, no, it wasn't the first concert. But Chris and I did go to a concert when we were first dating. It was Live and Counting Crows together.
Interesting combo.
Double bill.
Double bill.
I Alone, it's great. It's great.
And it just, well, that seeing that post got me thinking, Matt, because I've been listening to, you know, I can believe this, to podcasts, and I enjoyed, maybe it was The Daily or somebody else recently, was about how a pandemic ends, and it was about the end of polio. And, like, the whole, like, vaccine hesitancy thing, here's my big theory that I'm working on, Matt, that I don't think is a big theory, right? Perhaps we have been too, we've had too much hubris in the church to think that our crisis is that Christendom is over. Right, that we're in this post-Christendom world. We were a little too belly buttony, right, on this whole, like, oh, people don't need the church anymore, which we know is not true, right? People need the church, right? But like, oh, it's no longer essential to society. People don't believe in it anymore. Maybe that's just like a symptom of this larger cultural thing, where, like, because it seems like people have no faith and don't believe in, like, the state anymore. And I want to be really particular about using the state instead of the government, because the government immediately moves it into, like, kind of partisan political language, right? But, like, the idea that you can't trust the post office, or, like, maybe, and it makes me more terrified of the world, but...
Do you know what you can trust? Someone in a hidden corner of Reddit, like, just right? Random, or somebody made a YouTube video, and you should really watch it.
Right?
Like, I mean... I make fun of that, but it also is, like, should do a study of, like, what does that mean? That, like, that does seem more attractive than whatever, like,
yeah,
I don't know, somebody that spent a lot of time studying this. And
I mean, that's what I saw, right? Like, yeah. I mean, this is super anecdotal and not a academic study, right? But my friend on Facebook was sharing an article from a non-reputable source that even had, like, the little Facebook warning sticker on it. But that was shaping her behavior, right? She's not going to get the vaccine. And, like, I mean, it's crazy, Matt, like, this person who nobody would guess, right, has breast cancer right now and is, like, just got through with breast cancer treatment, right? So, like, this person who's...
Wow, yeah.
Who, like, you know, in my head, right, the thing I wanted to write was, like, statistically, you're much more likely to die of COVID than you are to develop blood clots that kill you from the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Like, infinitely more, right? Like, you're... Yeah. But that's not, like...
Yeah.
But this is the real world. Like, this is not, like, she's not a unicorn, right? She's not, like, a crazy person on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the church, right, to, like, flip it back to what some of our listeners might care about, maybe it'll be more helpful for us in the world if we start to, like, take some blinders off, to stop thinking that we're so special that, like, the church as an institution is the only... And I know this isn't new, right? Like, distrust in institutions has been at an all-time high for, you know, has been growing and growing. That it's not just us, right? It's not about us, but, like... And there are, like distrusting the state, you know, is, like, there are, like, some super... And you're not going to believe this, dear listener, right? If you've listened to more than two or three episodes, not, like, me at least, and Matt and I are, like, super agreeable, like, oh, we'll do whatever the government tells us to do kinds of deal, but, like... There's serious consequences to, like, and I wonder, like, big picture about, like, what will, like, power doesn't disappear just because, like, we've taken, and perhaps rightly so, right? Like, the church, this is my crazy tinfoil hat day, right? Like, many of us within the church think rightly that the church has lost much of its power because it was misusing it, right? Mm. And rightly, with increased transparency, there are plenty of places and times where it's been appropriate for, like, the state or the government to lose power because it has misused it. But Newton's 17th law of the universe, right? I don't think power doesn't disappear, right? Like, Is that a fair statement, Matt? Can I, does this pass your organizing muster?
Power doesn't disappear.
I tend to think that you don't create or destroy power, but it just moves around. So when the church gives it up or gets taken away from the church, when it's taken away from the state, when it's taken away from these institutions, I don't think that like that power just vanished, right? It goes other places. And so the conservative part of me worries about where that power might be trickling to, because we may not see or know where it is.
I want to take it a biblical direction, but I don't know that you want to take it there.
No, please. Biblicalize it.
Well, soon,
take it to a place where we have some level of expertise.
Soon and very soon, we're going to get to Ascension Day. And I just watched the Ascension Day video with my kids, because we're continuing our Sunday school journey. And their question was, where did he go? Which is a great question.
Yeah.
And my response was, that's a great question. Where did he go? And I wonder if the same thing is about power. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so is that, I mean, like, I feel like we've talked about that before, like the ascension, not just being like, oh, he's going to go hang out for us wait for us on Jupiter. But that actually it gets like dissipated, that power gets dissipated. So what does it mean for the church to take some responsibility for that dissipation and what that looks like, rather than like hoarding an institution, but like, okay, what does it mean to actually like, I don't know, train people on what power is and like learn about how power is built and all of those things.
This is just what I do, Matt. This is a coping mechanism, I think, a part of what it is, right? because we hit another week of horrible news. You know, and I want to be clear, in a week in which we witnessed state violence, that I do not inherently think that the state does the best things with power. But I do. It just increasingly feels like an untenable situation our society is in. How long can it continue? You know, and it starts to hit biblical notes. How long before it really breaks, and where does that power go? I think is the structural question that I'm interested in.
No, it's a really good question.
You should,
for more on that,
definitely open this can of worms in your sermon, because you've got an easy way out of this into the good news.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really interesting that our denomination, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, has chosen Minneapolis as the site of our next youth gathering. And did that before all these things were in the news, although I'm sure things were going on under the news. Yeah. But how interesting. We'll see how that affects the next year and a half of churches preparing. You seem pretty optimistic that it's going to result in some really good conversation about what all of this means. But, you know, if your youth group needs, you know, a study guide, you could do worse than listening to the violent preacher.
You could do worse.
We'd be happy to help.
That's our motto. There are worse ways to prepare for all kinds of things than listening to this podcast.
Do worse. You know, if you want to explore the idea of power and institutions and symbols, you might tune in on Fridays to Disney Plus. To Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which is exploring this very idea.
Mm.
So good.
How are you? Are you enjoying the
Oh my god, I love it. Chris is skeptical, as she has been with these Marvel shows, but at the end of the last one, I was like, oh my gosh, incredible.
Here's the thing, Matt. I'm watching it. I'm up to date. You know, I'm not as excited about it as I am about the Mighty Ducks reboot. Gordon Bombay is about to get hands on, and I think it's going to be something special. Here's what I find amazing, right? How come I had a much better idea of what was going on in WandaVision than understanding what is happening in The Winter Soldier and Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
I mean, I think it's going to come together.
It's like a pretty, like, this is a story we're telling you. But, like, there's a power broker, there's a girl that Captain America dated one time, and she's, a crime lord now in Malaysia, but they're all in Eastern Europe, and they're all put like these Wilson volleyballs like on their head, and they like do bad things. But the means maybe justify the ends. There's a new Captain America who's got roid rage and really needs some anger management. Like, actually, it's trying to be Hulk. It's.
Yeah, I mean, I think what they're... I mean, I hope that all the threads come together. But they're... I mean, they're talking about this symbol. What are they going to do with this symbol? Sam thinks you should put it in a museum.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you got Black Panther.
He's pulling the old Henry Indiana Jones on it.
What's that?
He's pulling the old Henry Indiana Jones on it. Belongs in a museum.
I wish you would have said those exact words.
Did you see Phoebe Waller-Bridgers is in the Indiana Jones 5?
What?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll be good.
Who cares?
Who cares?
We'll watch it.
It's good. It's good. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what they do. Yeah, I'm in. It doesn't take much, though, for me. It doesn't take much.
Also, they're Wakandans. Like, it.
Oh, that's incredible. They brought in Wakanda. Oh, my God. And there's going to be a Wakanda series. I do think what it has affirmed for me, even more than the movies, the series, both of these series have affirmed for me that I am really into, like, comic book stories as a way to explore these ideas. And I don't think I'd ever really realized that, but like, I enjoy it when they do in the movie, but the movies are like twice a year or something.
Yeah.
And mostly I think they're funny, like, you know, the Ragnaroks, but these shows have really like tried to explore ideas, whether they've done them well or not. And I'm like, I like this. Like, let's explore an idea with comic themes, like as a framing device.
Interesting, man.
I don't know. Yeah.
How many more do we got? I don't even know how many are.
Two.
Only two? Okay.
Only two. I know. What are they? How are they going to tie together? I don't know. And then you're going to get Loki, and I have no idea how Loki is going to have any kind of themes. It just seems like it's going to be
bonkers. Undermines itself the entire time.
I'm in.
Well, Matt, one television show that we can all agree on that is perhaps the 21st century's greatest... exploration of religion in America is the HBO series The Righteous Gemstones.
This makes me want to watch it again. Like, it just...
Oh, yeah. They're shooting right now on Walter Goggins' Instagram, Matt. You can see him dressed up as Baby Billy.
Season 2?
He did some selfies. But here's the good news, right? We have two pieces of Righteous Gemstones good news. Item number one, they're shooting the second season right now. If you're in the Charleston area, send us tips, take pictures, let us know, because that's where they shoot. Number two, we're a little late to this. Evidently, it's been out for a while, but you can pre-order right now for real in a link that you can find in this episode description, all the music from the Righteous Gemstones on vinyl. It's gold-plated vinyl, because that's the only way it'd be. It's $40, but you're going to get it. So Father's Day has come. I've already dropped some very strong hints about what I would like for Father's Day, and I want the Righteous Gemstones. Misbehaving.
You just want to spin Misbehaving?
Just over and over again. So be sure to use promo code VinyloPreacher whenever you order.
Incredible. I know everyone's talking about this Lil Nas X video, which I've not yet seen, but I've read several think pieces about it, so I think that's pretty much who I am. But my favorite depiction of Satanism is from The Righteous Gemstones. It's hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
Oh, such a good show.
All right, what have we got in these Easter season texts? What is this, Easter 4?
Easter 4. I see people on the internet been complaining. I see Michael Coffey complaining about the Acts texts, wishing that he had Old Testament texts, which is a corner, you know, we've been on for years.
Yeah, and fun fact, in the Disrupt Worship Project, Steve Jerby and Elizabeth Rawlings, they just did a piece on Acts that we talked about last week, talking about how Peter is a jerk. And his whole speech is nuts. And they were like, yeah, this is really terrible. You should preach against it. And I was like, what? We already... And if only we...
If only. Well, Matt, this week we have Axe again, and we got John. Axe and John, no Mark. Is the Axe preachable this week?
The rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander.
Alexander. And, I just hear that in the in the voice of... who is it? The, oh, gosh. What's the...
Alexander.
Hey-ho.
And all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, by what power... Uh-oh. By what power... or name, did you do this? Well, the power broker, of course. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who is sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is, and I quote, the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, it has become the cornerstone, end quote. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved.
Not nearly as jerky as last week.
Not nearly as jerky, but this a similar problem where all the action took already took place, mm-hmm. and now we just get the words explaining the action.
Yeah.
It just seems like a weird choice for election.
You're right. You're right, Matt. You know, one of the tricks that I teach in my preaching lab with students that we were taught, you know, is look for the verbs. And there aren't a lot of verbs, like, actually happening in real time. They assembled. It's an Avengers style. They assembled, and then some people talked about other things.
Yeah. I mean, once again, like, it's a similar, like, it's a similar move where it's like, okay, they're doing these deeds of power, and the author of Acts is going out of his way to say, this is not, it's not these disciples from where the power comes, that the power comes from Jesus. And it's once again, like, pointing back to Jesus to say, this is where this power comes from. So, okay, I get it. I get what you're doing. I'm not sure why we need it, like... I don't know. I feel like there's a better way to do it. Maybe you could tell the story. That would be...
Mm-hmm.
But, or just... Could you just do both? Like, why, we have long lections elsewhere in the year. Yep. Why don't you just do the story and then the explanation like we do everywhere else?
You got a pretty short John. You know, you could even if we were... Oh, gosh. Can you imagine if we were Kevin Strickland? We could, you know, keep a gospel, right? But keep the gospel really short during all of Mark... Mark's Easter season, and then go extended action, semi-continuous Acts.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it'd be way better.
If only we were Kevin Strickland. That's what every day I wake up and I say, oh, if only I was former director of worship, now Bishop Kevin Strickland.
So if I switch gears for a moment, maybe one way that you could work with these texts is to approach that from the perspective of one of your favorite things, mystagogy.
Mystagogy!
Here they are discussing what has happened and trying to figure out what it all means. And so maybe it puts the spotlight on, you know, even though it does seem like there's a lot of monologuing, there is a question and a response. And maybe that is the kind of practice that is pretty critical. I've been reading the Road to Emmaus story lately, and they're talking and discussing about all these things that have happened, right? I just had a discussion last night in one of our synod events. It was like a book club discussion on policing and faith, and we had this whole discussion. And the discussion was actually like an important discussion to have. And so maybe it does lift up for this the importance of talking to each other, asking questions, listening, that this is all part of the process of how we make sense of our faith, of what happens after Easter, right? What happens after Easter? You gotta make sense of it. Maybe it's not making sense, but you have to interpret it. What's the word I'm looking for? You gotta mystagogy it?
Search it.
Mystagogy.
Feel around in the darkness. Stumble.
Mm-hmm. All those things.
Mm-hmm. I like it, Matt. I think it's very preachable. You know, again, unless you're going super into, you got to super commit to the Acts if you're going to preach the Acts, I feel like, because people don't have context for what's happening. I mean, I don't have context for, that's what I mean by people. You got to do a lot of explaining and stuff. But, Matt, if you're going to hit the gospel that I'm about to tell you about, I think there are a number of connections beneath the surface that you can draw on here that I think are pretty good. Pretty good, because I got a lot today, Matt, because I'm preaching this week. We're in the 10th chapter of John, which is just a random lection because we don't have any Mark to read about after Jesus has risen or has vacated the tomb. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Matt, is this another episode of Let's Talk About the Sheep?
Yes.
I think it is. But before we get to talking about the sheep, because I got a lot to talk about sheep here, I want to talk about life. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Pop quiz, Matt. What's the Greek on life here? Any ideas?
I don't know. What is it?
It's psyche.
It's psyche?
Psyche. And, you know, that's the Greek word from which we get psychology and all that kind of stuff. But psyche literally means the breath of life, the breath. Mm. So if you have not yet preached your sermon about I need to breathe and the relationship between God and human breath, here you go. The good shepherd gives up his breath for the sheep. Struck by that. There you go. There's your nugget. But here's the other one. Let's talk about the sheep, Matt. Let's do it. The word that gets translated sheep here is, you're not going to believe this, in the ancient Near East, they have, in Arabic now, in the Near East, an infinite number of words for sheep. There is a word for every, like, possible sheep you can think of. A male castrated sheep that's brown. Like, there's a specific word for that. A young male brown sheep that has it, that's less than nine. Like, there's like word upon word upon word to describe exactly what kind of sheep you're talking about, because sheep are really important.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to lift up. The word that gets used here for sheep, and all throughout this metaphor, is the most vague word for sheep you could use. It, in fact, does not even mean sheep. Right? It means livestock. It means any livestock that follows after another. Like, the root word literally means to follow after another. So it could be used. It's small livestock is basically what it means. It could be goat. You could use it to talk about goat. It is often, I'm not going to go after the translation here. Sheep's, we're talking about shepherds. Sheep makes sense. But worth noting, they had at their disposal an infinite number of incredibly descriptive words to describe sheep. And here, John has chosen the least descriptive, the most generic, the most all-encompassing, most, if you will, inclusive word for sheep.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Interesting. So, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and runs away. Literally flees. It's exactly what the Holy Family does. Same word in Matthew when they run away to Egypt. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. Matt, quick, pop quiz again on let's talk about the sheep. What's a sheep fold? It says, I do not belong to
like
this fold.
Is it like a group of sheep? Is it like a murder of crows?
That's what you would think, right? But a fold of sheep.
Or a blessing of unicorns?
Well, right? A blessing of unicorns. The reading continues. I must bring them also, these who do not belong to this fold, for they listen to my voice, so they will be one flock. Flock is actually, Matt, you know, the word for a group of sheep. A fold is a physical thing, like a structure. It's like a paddock.
I was going to say paddock. Like it's in Jurassic Park?
It's like a paddock. It's a lot more like Jurassic Park. And actually, in the you know, getting into my Roar Bar Molina here, what they're referencing in the sheep fold isn't so much just a fence that you had sheep in, but they kept sheep inside of buildings, like an apartment building in Los Angeles. How about this? If you, dear listener, if you haven't spent much time in Los Angeles, I find that a lot of the apartments are kind of gross looking, because there aren't like very many windows and stuff on the outside, but lots of them have this interior courtyard that can be very lovely and lush and beautiful. right? That's kind of how they built their buildings in the ancient Near East. So that had an interior courtyard because you could keep sheep in, and you could keep all kinds of livestock in there, and you could keep them safe, especially at night from predators, from people who might steal your livestock. So that's what we're referencing here.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. Good stuff.
So the connection is going to keep going. I'll finish reading, though. I have other sheep that don't belong inside of this building, right? So think about that. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. It could also be a cave, but I would stick with my interior courtyard. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have, here's your key word, Matt, power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I've received this commandment from my Father. I've got one more note for you here, Matt, that's going to blow your mind. You ready? The hired hand, who is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them, seizes by force. Matt, that word gets used a number of times in the gospel. It's how Jesus is taken later on in John 18 to be questioned by, it's not snatching. Sorry, I'm wrong. It's not the snatching. The word that gets translated fold here, that interior courtyard, is the same word used in John 18 to describe the courtyard of the high priest where Jesus is taken for questioning.
What?
Right? And that happens in Matthew and Mark. Each time Jesus is drugged, taken by force, into an interior courtyard, a.k.a. fold, it's the exact same word, to be questioned by the high priest. It's true in Luke. In Luke, Jesus doesn't get questioned, but that's where Peter is sitting by a fire when he denies Jesus three times. He's in an interior courtyard of the high priest. It's the courtyard of the high priest, the fold of the high priest. And so, Matt, if we flip it back up here to Acts, the rulers, the elders, the scribes assembled in Jesus with Annas, who is the high priest. All these people who are of the high priestly family. So, Matt, there you go. There's this connection here my good news here, right? I got a couple good news for you. Jesus is going to tear down the walls, kind of sermon is here. But it's not just walls, right? The implication here is the walls of the temple where the chief priests are questioning him. So not just to that shady place that we all know is kind of bad outside of town, but Jesus is going to the temple and is going to tear down everything. Mm-hmm. That's the building. That's the paddock of the bad, the hired hand, who's not the good shepherd. And it's gotta go.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Whew, there is my trip through Koine Greek this week.
Well done. Is that what you're going to preach on?
I got to figure out a way to turn it into a sermon and not a lecture, but I do think, right, the issue with here on our favorite podcast, Let's Talk About the Sheep, is...
But what if you just told them, did you guys know the same word for...
Yeah, I'll do that.
I don't know if it would work. It works on the pod.
It does work on the pod.
Maybe if you had slides.
Slides, that's what I'll do. Maybe it's on Zoom. I could slide. Slip and slide. Coolio was also on 90s on 9 on my ride home from preschool today. One of the issues with the sheep, right, and all the sheep metaphors and imagery, which is already the bread of life, is how do you make sheep? The original audience here had an intimate knowledge of sheep and shepherding and all that kind of stuff, right? And we don't have that, and your audience doesn't have that. So I think this... for me, what I'm going to try to use, how I'm going to try to build a sermon with it and around it, is opening up sheepfold is not part of a playset on a kid's farm toy, but is this building is a way to really open up the metaphor and make it more accessible, more terrifying for sure. But,
yeah.
Because then the implication is Jesus is coming to tear down the walls of this fold.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll preach.
Hopefully.
What are you going to be listening to as you prepare?
Oh, such good stuff, Matt. Such good stuff. I'm going to go with the Avett Brothers off of the second gleam, Which is my favorite version of the Avett Brothers. You know, it's the most, like, kind of old-timey sort of bluegrass sound. But they've got a song called Tear Down the House. And I think that's what Jesus is announcing here. You know, I mean, that ties in as well. I didn't make it explicit. Into the cornerstone that the builders rejected. You know, you've got some more building metaphor here in the Acts reading that can be really supportive of that kind of reading of that this fold imagery is about buildings and cornerstones and not just little fences, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they're going to be doing here with the Avett Brothers. They're going to be tearing down the house. Then Mountjoy, who's playing a live show, supposedly on May 22nd with Trampled by Turtles at Red Rocks Amphitheater. I don't have tickets.
Really?
I don't know if it's still on, but it was on the calendar when we looked earlier today and dreamed about going to Bonnaroo. They got a song called Sheep that's a good one. So there you go. Play Sheep. And then Storybots, one of the
so
top...
Good.
So good. I actually ran into an ethical situation, Matt, because we've watched all the Storybots so many times that for a long time, Zelma would run into a question and she would say, I guess we got to ask the Storybots. And, like, they're not currently accepting questions. You can't ask them questions. And so there was a great deal of frustration that we could not actually ask the Storybots. So that was a bummer. But they've got great songs. And they have a whole album about livestock. And one of them is Sheep, Sheep, Sheep. It's the best 90-second song I've ever put on the podcast. There's a song about sheep. You got to play it. And finally, Matt, currently where I am finding my grooving. I've been number one in my guitar class with Old Town School, which is about to wrap up. We've recently been playing a Dylan song I had not heard before that I have fallen in love with called Mississippi. And it does some fun stuff. Not all the versions on Spotify are great, but like I think there's find like the pared down one. It's fantastic, but it has this chorus over and over again that says, the only thing that I did wrong was I stayed in Mississippi a day too long. And then it's super Dylan-y, but anyway, that led me down a rabbit hole through, like, YouTube suggestions. I've been on a Towns Van Zandt kick for a while now. Super grooving on Pancho and Lefty. If I Needed You, which is another killer. But Lungs is the one I'm going to go with. Here's the story about Towns. I'd not learned that much about Towns, but Towns had some mental health issues. You're not going to believe that in a musician. He was hospitalized with manic depression and received an experimental treatment that turned out to be awful and not good. And one of the consequences of it is that he constantly was short of breath and couldn't breathe. And so this song, Lungs, is about like that, like about that experience of not being able to breathe. As we hear a story about the God who is willing to give up breath, that we might breathe, I'm going to suggest that you spin Lungs by Towns Van Zandt.
I'm also really glad that you have multiple songs about sheep, because I chose all songs about wolves.
I want to put Home. I figured it out. I want to put Home by Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros, because it has that interlude, because formerly the band had someone named Alexander and Jade in it, and they have that speaky part where it's like, Jade, and she says, Alexander, which is how I heard you read X. So, long playlist this week.
Again, as I've said all month, I've been super into these. U2 has put these concerts on YouTube for a limited time, the Virtual Road, they're calling it. And I was like, huh, that's a fun promo thing. I don't know if I'll watch it. And then I did watch them, and I got super into it, and I went on a crazy U2 rabbit hole, as I want to do every couple of years or so. And then Ryan Chaddick and I, a friend of the pod, he was a guest of the pod when there was the last time U2 put an album out. And we were geeking out together about how much we love these shows. And so they've got a song called Raised by Wolves on their Songs of Innocence album. Much maligned album, because you were gifted this beautiful, beautiful album on your iPhone. But it actually is a fantastic album, and live, this song is just, it's incredible. Raised by Wolves. So good. You too. Raised by Wolves, about growing up in Dublin during the Troubles. So actually, also a serious topic. And then you got to go with Duran Duran, Hungry Like the Wolf. I mean, that is also a classic song about wolves, I assume. And then I was like, are there any other songs about wolves? And there are. There's She-Wolf by Shakira. Oh, it's so good. I love her. She-Wolf by Shakira. I listened to that song, Chris and I, on our road trip from Chicago to Seattle when we moved out there. It came out that summer, and I had a playlist. I mean, this was pre-Spotify, so you had to, like, yeah. get the songs on iTunes, put them together on a CD into a mixtape, and then listen to it on repeat for the 8 hours of driving a day. And so we listened to She-Wolf quite a lot, but thoroughly enjoyed it.
That is one of my daughter's favorite songs. She went through a whole phase where for 3 months she was walking around, there's a she-wolf, except she had the words wrong, and it was one of those things where she got really mad when you corrected her and stuff.
So. Yeah.
Oh, good list. Good playlist this week.
Good playlist. It's been real.
Real sheepy. Sheepish? There we go.